Pardon me here while I get myself all set up here. This is a little different for me. I'm not used to preaching on my rear. We'll see how it works. Well, someone told me that tomorrow is a really special day, but I forgot what day that is. Anyone know what day is tomorrow? Is there something special happening tomorrow? Anybody? Really? It's Christmas. Come on. Yeah, it's the day, right? Tomorrow is the big day. That's not like heavy meds talking. I was supposed to make sure you guys were awake, I promise. This sermon was written on some heavy meds, but I think we're off them by now, so we should be okay. But tomorrow is the day. It is the big day. So Merry Christmas Eve to all of you. And I'm so glad that we've been able to spend these weeks leading up to today and tomorrow, this Advent season, as we share in this time of expectant waiting. That's what tomorrow is all about anyway, isn't it? It's expectant waiting. It's that culmination of this journey that we've been on for the last month, where we have been reflecting together on what Jesus means to us, what Jesus is coming to earth on that first Christmas day is all about, and what it means that he's going to return again one day for us. And we found in those times of waiting that Jesus means some things for our world. The fact that he came to our world in the form of man on that day, that first Christmas day, means some things for us as individuals today. All along the way, we followed the light that guides us towards Jesus. And that light guided the shepherds and the magi towards Jesus way back when. And as we follow the light, we found that Jesus' birth and his ultimate return one day means that we can have hope and love and joy and peace in our lives, even when those things don't naturally come to us in this broken place. We found that those things that we find, that hope and love and joy and peace, they come to us in places that we don't normally expect them to come. We find them in those places we don't normally expect to find them. And they only happen by the power and presence of God in our lives. Now, as we're less than 24 hours away from being able to celebrate Jesus' birth, we're going to take some time this morning to pause and reflect on these events that changed the world over 2,000 years ago and changed the world continually through to beyond and even today. Now, I love a good story, and there's just something about sitting around together and thinking about days gone by and telling these stories that gives me comfort and challenge, no matter what the story is. And the traditions that we hold together and family time that we get to share around the holidays like this, it brings some unique opportunities to tell the stories of where we came to be, our family histories, and just how we came to have the place in life that we have today. The stories are really powerful things, aren't they? You know, they've often been means of preserving history of a people, of a people group, passing on along beliefs and values, entertaining us, inspiring us, even motivating us towards growth and change. Stories move us, and they connect us together as people. They bring meaning together and to our lives, and they help us make sense of our experiences. Good stories are messy. They include conflict. There are moments of victory and defeat. There's struggle and triumph. There's fear and courage. There's conflict and love. Those are what make great stories, because those are things that each of us encounter in every single one of our lives. And the fact that stories are told in so many different people groups and so many different venues all over the world shows us just how powerful stories can be. Whether it's coworkers sitting in the office or on a job site, or the family get-together, or a social club, or a culture event, our stories are as diverse as the people and characters who tell them. Now, sometimes our stories are true and they're believable. Sometimes they're a little untrue and a little unbelievable. But most times our stories, they kind of tend to be somewhere in the middle of that spectrum, right? Of fact and fiction, of truth and exaggeration. That seems to make a good story. They're always so fun to hear. And today, on the eve of Christmas, we are gathering this morning to tell and retell the most epic story ever. Only this story is more than just an epic story. This story doesn't dabble on that spectrum of truth and fiction, of exaggeration and fact. This story can be both believed and it's unbelievable all at the same time. And this story is entirely based in truth. It's grounded in factual history. This story is far greater than any story that we've ever heard or told, because this is more than a story. This story changed the world forever. This story is his story, right? It's history. It's the true story of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, come to earth to redeem us from sin. There's no greater storyteller. There's no greater powerful story. There's no more epic story than his story. The reality of God's love and redemption for this broken world. So in that spirit, I'd like you to take a moment right now and close your eyes and imagine yourself in a setting here. We're going to set the stage here for the story a little bit. Imagine yourself outside, somewhere in complete darkness and nothingness. There's just nothing around you. You can't see anything. You can't hear anything. There's nothing under your feet. There's nothing over your head. There's just nothing. You've searched and grabbed and looked for order and meaning around you, but there's just nothing. There's chaos. The heavens and the earth were there, but they were without form and void of substance. Can you see where you are? You're back at the very beginning, the beginning moments of creation. And suddenly there's brightness all around you, and you can begin to see the chaos of the earth and water around you. And then it goes dark again, and you're left wondering at what you just saw. Is that stuff still there? Then the light comes on again, only more gradually this time, and you see an amazing array of blue being separated to places above you and places below you. And then the light goes out again. And sometime later, though you have no concept of time at this point, the light comes on again, and you see all the water below you begin to shift and move, and the earth below begins to reveal itself as the water settles in certain areas, and it's contained in those places. And the land that had been covered with water begins to grow a beautiful array of vegetation, full of color and variation. And then the darkness comes again. Some amazing things are happening. Things that no one has ever seen before. And you're trying to make sense of it all when the light returns. But this time, it's different. This time, you can tell where it's coming from. You can see its source, even though it's hard to look at. It hurts your eyes. And as the darkness falls once again, you see this amazing display of lights that dot the sky, all racing to their spots where they settle and shine, each having a uniqueness to them. And where there was only darkness around you before, there is now gleaming, shimmering lights all above you. Now, creation didn't stop there. And I know that none of us could have been present in those days. God hadn't even created human beings yet. But because we're talking about following the light, and because that day has always been one of my favorite days to think about in creation, at least to imagine what's going on in it anyway, that's where we're going to settle this morning. I mean, can you imagine the scene that day? The starlit sky today is just amazing, and this slide in this kind of bright room doesn't really do it justice here, but it's amazing today. Even with all of our light pollution that we've created, it's just magnificent. Can you imagine what it was like on that very first day? Just amazing. Just incredible. And the Creator knows every single one of those lights intimately. Every single one of them. He knows which ones we humans were going to put together and connect with imaginary lines to make constellations. He knew which ones that we would use to chart the seasons and to navigate ships with. He knows which ones will burn out in the exact moment when they'll streak across the sky and burn out in a burst of flames. And he knows the one star that would one day shine as scattered light and serve as the beacon that led people to his son, his newly arrived son on the earth, Jesus Christ. That star, that light shone in the darkness with a unique purpose. It was more than a celestial marker. It was a beacon of hope to a lost and hurting world. It signaled the birth of Christ, the arrival of the promised Messiah, the bright and morning star who would change the course of history forever. It guided the Magi. It lit the night for the shepherds. And as we sit here this morning in this dark world today, reflecting on the past and thinking about the present and contemplating what the future holds, that star is leading us to. It's leading us to Jesus. The light of God's love is showing us the way to himself, and it proclaims his ultimate return to establish his kingdom on earth and finishing the work that God started when he began. The time of Advent shows us that God's story is ongoing. It spans all of history from creation to Jesus' birth to us seated here this morning, and it carries on as we wait for his return on into eternity. Yes, we've been waiting for this day, for tomorrow especially, but for this day, this time to celebrate Jesus' birth. And we wait, too, for God to unfold his story of love for the world that he created when he sends Jesus back to this earth, sending his son once again so that we can celebrate what was, what is, and what is still to come. Now, if you've got an Advent wreath at home, those were all the rage one day. I know we always had one growing up. But if you've got an Advent wreath at home, today is the day that you light that final candle, that one in the center of the wreath, the one that represents Jesus, right? And if you've been here over the past 4 weeks, you know that as we follow the light of Jesus this Advent season, we encountered hope and love and joy and peace. Hope in our doubt and our fear. Love when we needed it most, joy where we least expected to find it, and peace for the storms of our lives. And so today, as we celebrate together this light that has led us to Jesus this Advent season, we're going to take a look back at each one of these pieces as they relate to our journey of following the light. And when we began the Advent season, we encountered hope. And the Bible records many centuries of history, beginning thousands of years even before the birth of Christ. And yet, all throughout that time, hope burned for a Savior. The same God who created the universe, who breathed life into Adam and Eve, who flung those stars into the sky, communicated with his creation and told them about the Savior he was going to send them. In fact, he told them very specifically who the Savior was going to be and when he was going to be born, who he was going to be born. Isaiah 7 records one of those moments. It says, some 700 years before Jesus' birth, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, I don't know how much more specific and clear he could have been, and yet people have been people for a long time. You know, we have a tendency to doubt and to not trust God. You know, they had this hope for a Savior that burned in them from the beginning, but sometimes that hope flickered. And sometimes that hope was just a glowing ember in their hearts. But God always kept that hope alive. And so they waited. And as they waited, that hope was fulfilled. Jesus Christ has come and fulfilled that hope in his birth, in his life, in his death, and his resurrection. And today, that is where our hope is found. The Son of God came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, conquered that death, and is alive today. How amazing is that? He's our ongoing source of hope in this broken world. The future hope that we live in is that Jesus will come again to finish that work of redemption in our world and in our lives. His story, though, is not over. And even when our brokenness and when the brokenness of the world around us seems to be winning the battle, we can trust that God will complete his ultimate work. All will be made right one day. The words of the song Farther Along by Josh Garrels, they ring in my mind as I think about these things. They say, "Tempted and tried, I wondered why. The good man dies, the bad man thrives, and Jesus cries because he loves them both. We're all castaways in need of a rope. We're hanging on by the last threads of our hope." And you know, we all need that rope. We all need rescue, don't we? We need to be rescued. Our hope this Christmas season is not for something nicer and bigger or more exciting than last year in the way of presents. We might want those things in our weaker moments, of course, but in reality, we have a deeper longing, something that's real and lasting is what we want. Something that's more than what we've been getting. We need saving. When we're honest, we know our very lives are on the line. We're desperate for something, for someone to come and save us. Do you ever feel like that song? Ever? Like you're hanging on by the last thread of hope? Like everything else has failed and Jesus is all you have left? Well, believe it or not, that's a great place to start, because the good news of this journey of following the light is that just like on that first Christmas Eve, God is about to show up. God is about to show up. He is set to return and make things right. He's coming to save us. And so today, as we celebrate Christmas Eve, let's trust in that. Let's put our hope in the God who never changes, whose story is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow and forever. That is hope that will absolutely be found true. In the second week of Advent, we encountered love. And in love, we saw those similar threads of past and present and future. As long as God has been, for eternity past, right? As long as God has been, there has been love. Love fueled God's creation of the world. It drove him to make a way to restore humanity into right relationship with him, even after we chose sin over him. And at a particular point in history, God, motivated by his intense love for his creation, he sent his Son to redeem us, to fix what we broke. Today, love is present still. Love fuels our relationship with God. It's our motivation. We live out of the love that God is in us. And we love others because God loves us, as he teaches us and he gives us power to do so. And as long as God will be, for eternity future, there will be love. We look forward to the day when God's love story is complete and we'll live with him for all eternity. Our lives will be fulfilled in perfect and complete love one day. Those elements of God's love are summed up well, I think, in 1 John 4, where it says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So we have come to know and to believe that the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." Today, as we continue on in this journey of following the light, let's marinate in the reality of the amazing love of God. Marinate, that's a good word, right? That's a good word for that. To soak in it so much and let it cover us and infuse us so much that we end up giving off the flavor of God's love. That's a good word. I like it. God gave up everything to be with us, right? He gave up everything to be with us and show us his love for us. His love is real and it's present among us. And so is joy, which we found on the third week. We know from the angel's announcement on that first Christmas that the birth of Jesus Christ was a joyful event. There was a lot of joy that day. Luke 2 records that moment for us. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" The good news of great joy was that Jesus, the Savior of the world, had arrived. He came to earth. He was born. That event brought joy that broke through the darkness of the world and dispelled the fears of those shepherds. And it can break through our darkness and replace our fears as well today. Jesus offers us the same salvation and the same life that he came to give through his birth and death and resurrection. It is the source of the greatest joy possible available to us in this life. And even though we still live in this place where joy and pain coexist, God's promise to us is that joy will be made complete when Jesus returns. That's his promise to us. That joy gives us strength for the journey, and it stands in stark contrast to the death and despair of our broken world. That's all we ever find from this world, isn't it? There's no joy, no hope, no love. And so today we continue following the light and we find joy. And we rejoice with the angel who announced the arrival of that joy, of our long-awaited Savior. Joy leads us to worship God who makes joy possible. And then last week, we encountered peace. Peace can be so elusive in our world today, can't it? And in the events of the world, the local news, even sometimes in our own families, and even in our own minds, they seem to drive us from the kind of peace that God wants to provide to us. Everywhere we look today, we see how desperate the world is and how desperate we are for peace. And yet, if we're paying attention, we can see God's peace all throughout his story. God's peace has been here from eternity past, and it will carry on to eternity future. And that's true because peace it's not a feeling we get. It's not just a state of being that we want to achieve or can achieve. No, peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. Chaos will always find its way into our lives. Even if we try to kick it out, we kick out one piece of chaos and another one will step up and take its place. This world is full of chaos. The moment we think we've gotten rid of it, another shows up in another form or another area. And so peace isn't removing chaos from our lives. It's God's presence in the midst of that chaos. That's peace. Tomorrow we get to celebrate the arrival of the Prince of Peace in that manger. Peace has come. Peace is here. After he conquered death, Jesus ascended into heaven, but peace remains here with us. Jesus left us the gift of his peace through Holy Spirit. Peace that can be found even in the worst of our circumstances. Peace that goes beyond our understanding. Peace that guards our hearts and our minds. Philippians 4 tells us that truth. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And as we look to the future in anticipation, with this expectant waiting like we're doing in Advent here, we know that when he comes again, he will bring the ultimate peace for the entire world. Peace among nations, peace between enemies, peace to reign in every heart. As we follow the light this Advent season, as we look for the peace that we long for, we realize it's not a journey away from the pain and suffering of our lives. There was, after all, noise and hurt and fear and struggle and pain in that first Christmas night. And yet, who showed up in the middle of that? Jesus did, the Prince of Peace. He came in the middle of all that and was peace to those people. And he's peace for us in the middle of our struggle. Jesus' own life was so filled with hardship and pain that he knew his followers would not be exempt from it. And so he gave them the gift of peace. He says in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so as we get to celebrate tomorrow all these things that we've encountered on this journey of following the light, and as we continue to follow the light in our lives of Jesus Christ, this bright and morning star into the new year and beyond, let's rest in the fact that in a world that is so full of violence and fear and noise and pain and struggle, that God offers us hope and love and joy and peace. And that as these things comfort us in the midst of our lives today, we know that they will one day be complete in our hearts and in our world. Jesus tells us, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Here in Advent, as we sit on the very edge of Christmas, looking forward into the days to come, I choose to follow the light. I choose to follow Jesus who gives light and life and joy and peace and love and hope. What about you? What are you following today? Is it a genuine light? Or is it something that shimmers briefly and then fades away and you have to find a new one? No matter how dark your life is today, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what struggle you're in or what pain or sadness you're working through, the light of Jesus Christ shines for you. It's God's invitation to come and experience his story of hope and love and joy and peace. the song we sang today, this morning, We Three Kings, it reminds us, star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to that perfect light. Let's allow the light of God's love to light the way in our lives today and tomorrow and forever. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that your story of hope, love, joy, and peace from eternity past through eternity future, thank you that that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. Encourage our hearts this morning, Lord, with your hope, your love, your joy, and your peace as we follow the light of your Son, Jesus. Forgive us, Father, when we stumble and fall on that journey, and for when we allow a flickering light to distract us from the constant light of your Son. You are our only hope. Help us to run to you this Christmas season and always. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, normally we like to celebrate communion on the first Sundays here at the Bridge, first Sundays of the month. But today is a special day. It's Christmas Eve. And so we want to celebrate that time of communion, of sharing together, of proclaiming Jesus' death and resurrection as a church family together. And so we're going to do that this morning. And I want you to know that here at the Bridge, there aren't membership requirements. You are welcome to join us as long as you've examined your heart and you have found yourself to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you've confessed your sin before him, and that you are coming this morning to the table with a clean heart. And so if that's you this morning, please join us. And feel free to grab the elements that are in the tables there and at the end of your rows maybe, and pass those around and partake in that today. And remember, you know, that hope and love and joy and peace is what we are proclaiming here. This is what God brought to us through his Son. And as we take these elements, it's the Bible says that we are proclaiming his death and resurrection until he returns. And we've been waiting in this Advent season for quite a while. And so we're waiting again for that, for his return to happen. So remember the power of over death that Jesus had. Remember the price that Jesus willingly paid to be a sacrifice for our sin. And thank God for his continuing presence that is with us until he returns. And Glenda's going to play some music softly as we contemplate those things, and then I will read some scripture and we'll partake of the elements together.